Good to have our pastor home, isn't it? And Miss Kathy. Good to have her here too. Yeah. I guess. Since the two go together, we have to accept her. Amen. And we're glad that they're here. Ann Marissa. Is her name Ann Marissa? I just thought it was Marissa. Ann Marissa. Good to have you with us, Ann Marissa. Amen. Yes. You went to Texas too? Why? He was their son. What? You don't have no part in this thing. I don't understand. All righty. Amen. Amen. It is good to be here. I tell you, just to know that God lets us come to His house to worship Him and to praise Him is exciting. Amen? It is. It really is exciting that the Lord would open the doors to His house and let us come in that we might pray and that we might praise Him. And we're excited about that. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter 22. Started thinking about maybe preaching on John 3:16, but I thought maybe some of you are getting it now. Amen. But we want to look at Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 37. Verse number 37 of chapter 22 of Matthew. I made mention yesterday we're going to be talking about, preaching about a little bit about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Most Christians do not have a relationship with the Lord. They know Him as their Savior, and I'm not doubting their salvation. They know Him as their Savior, and they're content with being saved and going to heaven. You say, well, Brother Danny, shouldn't we be content? Well, yes and no. It shouldn't stop there. I mean, that really, I look back, and I got saved in 1969, And to be honest with you, I did not get saved to have a relationship with Jesus. I got saved because I was lost. And Jesus is the Savior. And I found out that if I would ask Him to come into my heart, forgive me my sins, that He would. And I believed Him and I trusted Him and He saved me. But I tell you what happened because of that salvation. I began to have a desire to have a relationship with Him. More than just saying He's my Savior. The Bible calls Him this. The Bible says that He is our Lord. Amen? And to be the Lord means that we have a relationship with Him in the sense that He is over us and we want to get close to Him. And so tonight I want to talk about that a little while and see what God would open the door for us concerning this. And maybe God will meet with us and bless in this area tonight, all right? So if you'll stand with us, we'll read this one verse in Matthew chapter number 22, verse number 37. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And so here we find the setting of the story is that there's a lawyer that's trying to tempt the Lord in a question. He's asking Him what is the greatest commandment and that's given. And so the Lord begins to quote to him Deuteronomy that tells us this very verse. And God is saying that we're to love the Lord God with all that we are. Amen? Now you say, Brother Danny, I don't agree with what you said about a lot of Christians are not, they're not concerned with having a relationship with the Lord. Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. Well, I mean, it's got to be the truth because they say they love Him, and yet, my friend, they don't come around Him. Isn't that amazing? It'd be something if you were to tell your wife, I love you, I'll try to see you around Easter time or Christmas. And there's some folks that call themselves Christians. You see, I'm not a judge, so I can't judge that. But they call themselves a Christian, and that's the only time they go to church. And then there's some that they would go more often than that. They'll go two or three times a month. Now, it sounds like to me they don't love God that much. Just going by sounds, amen. And the Bible says we're supposed to love the Lord God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and everything. And the Bible is saying with everything that's within you, you ought to love God. I believe if we love God this way, we're going to want to have a close relationship with Him. Amen? We're going to want to get close enough to Him to find out His likes and His dislikes. Amen? That's what a relationship is about. And I believe we'll want to do that if we really love Him like we're supposed to love Him. You say, Brother Danny, I'm not sure I agree with all that. Well, just hang on. We're going to preach to you. Amen? And we'll see what God's got to say about the matter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, that we might have a relationship with you. As a matter of fact, Lord, I believe you're not just interested in a relationship, but a close. And maybe we ought to use the word an intimate relationship, one where we get very close to you, for Lord, you have gotten very close to us. And we pray tonight, dear God, that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, that you'll deal with us. Lord, we know that the message is really aimed at us Christians to draw us closer to you. But Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that's lost, I know that you can speak to their heart through this message. And Lord, that you can bring them under conviction to where they realize that they're a sinner and they need to repent of their sins and be saved. And Lord, I pray that you'll help them to do that. But I do pray for us Christians tonight that we would be drawn closer. Lord, that we desire that intimate relationship between us and you. Father, help us tonight, Lord, to just do what you'd have us to do in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You say, Brother Danny, I don't know if the Lord really wants us to have that relationship, that intimate relationship that you just mentioned. Well, isn't it strange that he tells us that we're to love the Lord thy God with all our heart? Isn't it strange that he would tell us that and not want a relationship with us? But it even goes more than that. I think of Peter. If you remember Peter in the book of John, after Jesus has been crucified and after Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, Peter is talking with the Lord and the Lord is talking with him. Remember, the disciples have gone out fishing and they're coming back in and they have no fish in the boat. And Jesus begins to talk to them from the bank, from the shoreline, and ask them about their fishing night. And Brother Mike, they didn't have very good luck that night. Amen. I know you've never, from the stories I've heard about you, you've never had one of those nights, but you know, they had one of those nights where they didn't catch anything. And Jesus told them, said, well, fish, cast your nets on the right side of the ship, and they did, and boy, they caught an abundance of fish. And then as they're coming on in, Jesus builds a fire, cooks a meal for them, for when they get on shore, the meal is already spread for them, and Jesus and the disciples eat and fellowship together. And as they're eating and fellowshipping right in front of the disciples, Jesus singles Peter out. He doesn't call him off to the side, but right in the midst of those disciples, he asked Peter. He said, Peter, lovest thou me? Sounds like to me, God's interested in having an intimate relationship with us. He didn't say, Peter, do you like me? He said, lovest thou me? As a matter of fact, three times he asked Peter this question. Now, we know it's resulted from three times that Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But he asked him. It was not a secretive thing. My friend, here's what I'm trying to get at. God wants us to have such a relationship with him that we're no longer ashamed of him. You know what that means? He's not ashamed of us. Amen. And he wants this relationship. And what he's wanting Peter to admit in front of those other disciples that he loves the Lord. Isn't it strange that, okay, we're not ashamed of our relationship with the Lord, but we just don't want to talk about it. Amen? We don't want to talk about it. Josh, alias Adam, got up and testified tonight. about how God's opening him up now, so to speak, to witness to others and tell them about the Lord. You can't tell them about the Lord without telling them about your relationship with him. Amen? He shared that with us. My friend, that's what we ought to want to do, is to tell the world tonight that we literally love Jesus. What is there to be ashamed of? And yet we act like we want to be one of those secret disciples that I don't know about. I've never read about them. Not in the Bible. I've read about them in other books and things like that. But I've never read in the Bible about folks concerning their relationship to the Lord that they were a secret disciple. How can you be a secret disciple? The two words, my friend, are a dead giveaway. That they, you're not nothing. Amen. A secret disciple. Disciple means disciplined one. Disciplined to what? To the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning we're to share Jesus with everybody we come in contact with. Amen. But let's keep it a secret. How can you do that? As a matter of fact, you can't, can you? But we ought not be ashamed. You see, every once in a while we sing a song in the service, and maybe it, the song itself, now, it calls for us to raise our hand and praise the Lord. And some of us, we just don't do that. Why don't we do that? It's okay. You read your Bible. It's scriptural to lift up holy hands. You say, well, I'm not holy. Well, that's the reason we got an altar tonight. You can get holy. If you say, I don't believe you can, why would God say, be ye holy for I'm holy? Amen. Is it possible that it's our pride? I think it's more probable than just possible that it's our pride. You say, I don't appreciate that, Brother Danny. I'm not trying to make you happy. I'm listen, the preacher's job is not to make you happy. It's to expose you to the truth. Amen. Could that be it? That we're... We're ashamed? Huh? We blame it on everybody else, the reason we don't. Well, because, you know, I don't want to be labeled with that group or that group or that group, so you want to be labeled with the dead group. Because that's where we are. We're labeled with the dead group. You know what folks say about the Baptist? We're dried up. You know why? We're ashamed to let this relationship between our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be exposed to the world. We ought to be so excited about it. Pray, you know, listen, here's the thing about it. God wants me to have a relationship with him. God's doing his best to have a relationship with me, and he said, now it's on your shoulders. I've done everything. I loved you first. That's the beginning of a relationship, you know. He said, I loved you first. Listen, I've made it possible for you to approach me. Amen? Amen. We can approach the very throne of God tonight because of what Jesus did at Calvary. We come through Jesus to the Father. It's the only way you can get to the Father. Amen? Because he's a holy and righteous God, and none of us could come before him other than coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. I believe the Bible. God's wanting a relationship with you and I. He's longing for that relationship between you and I. He said it, my friend, that we're to love the Lord thy God with all our heart. And he singles old Peter out. My friend, he's wanting to have a right relationship or a close relationship with you and I tonight. And that ought to be our desire. That ought to be our heartbeat, to have a relationship with Jesus. I mean, one, my friend, isn't it something if we're good friends with certain people in society, we let everybody know it? Amen? That a thing on the news. I don't remember where it was. I don't even remember any names. Two policemen pulled over this guy that was a a well-known guy. He's an entertainer or something like that. I'm not sure what he is. But he's well-known. And they, when they pull him over, they recognize who he is. And they say to him, "Can we take your picture with us?" They're pulling him over because he was texting on his phone. So they ended up giving him a warning ticket instead of a real ticket like they would have given the rest of us. And they give him a warning ticket, but they want a picture with him. So he does the good thing of letting them take a picture with him. So one of the officers takes a picture of the other officer and this man. And then the two officers swap places, and the other one gets up here and takes a picture with them. This fellow that's well known, I don't know who he is, but he's well known to the media. He says, "Hey, y'all got a picture of me on y'all's phone. Can I have a picture of you on my phone?" And they said, "Yes." And so they pose, one officer taking one with this man's phone. And so he gets their picture, and then he turns it over to the authority, because what is going on is illegal. But the point is, they wanted a picture with him because he's well known. They want folks to think we're good buddies. And probably that guy didn't even think to look to see what the officer's name was, let alone good buddies. Are you getting what I'm saying? We do that, don't we? We get around certain people. We want everybody to think that we know them. Listen, what's wrong? Why can't we do that with Jesus? Why can't we want the world to know that we know Jesus? Amen? I do. Don't you want everybody to know that you know Jesus? Amen. Boy, we're going to want that on Judgment Day, I guarantee you. Amen. We're going to want it big time. We're going to want the Lord to say, "Hey, Danny, come here," not Mr. Long. Amen. We're going to want him to know us by our first name. Amen. Well, why don't we want him to know us now? Why don't we want to be his dearest friend as he's our dearest friend? Why don't we want to have this relationship? I get to thinking about this, and I get excited about the fact that God wants to have a relationship with me. It's more than just saving me and kind of shoving me outside and said, "Okay, get on out there, go do whatever, and one of these days you're going to heaven." It's not that. God said, "Hey, stay right here and walk with me. Talk with me." Don't you know God gets lonely? Stop and think about it. We have friends that we talk to. Amen? We have friends. We develop relationships with people to where we'll say to folks, "Love you, brother. Love you, brother. Love you." Maybe not every one of you, but love you. I love you. Amen? We develop those relationships. And boy, isn't it good to hear someone say to you, man, I mean, all the miles we travel and everything, it is so good to come into a church and folks start, "Oh, it's good to see you." And, you know, I don't, maybe you're just very, very good liars. My wife said she was. You heard her testify to it, amen? When I witnessed to her, she said, "Yeah, I'm saved." I knew she was a liar, amen? But it's all right. She's already confessed it, amen? But unless you're very good liars, I believe some of y'all are really genuinely glad to see us. Well, that makes your heart feel good, amen? How do you think God feels when we, his children, act like we're ashamed of who he is? You say, "Well, I'm not ashamed of who he is." Oh, well, what is it exactly you're ashamed of concerning him? I've not found a thing about him that would even warrant me to be ashamed of him. After all, you know what he's looking for? Somebody that will love him. Miss Pam sang the song, "I'd rather have Jesus than anything." You know what the Lord's looking for? People that will, in their hearts, say that and really mean it, to the point that it won't just stay in their heart, but they'll let the whole world know, "I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Anything this world has to offer, I'd rather have Jesus." Well, I get to thinking about it, and I look in the Bible, and we've picked out three men in the Bible that we want to use tonight to get us started on this message. There are many others throughout the Bible. There's men and women alike in the Bible that we could have used, but we've chosen these three tonight. First of all, we think about Abraham. Listen to what is said about Abraham in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8. "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." The Bible again says concerning that, James 2:23. "And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Now listen to me. Don't get this verse turned around. There's a verse in the Bible that tells us that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That means Jesus is my friend. But here, the Bible is not talking about Jesus or God being friends with Abraham. The reference here is about Abraham being a friend of God's. I wonder tonight if God can say that about you and I. That, hey, oh, so-and-so, that's my friend. That's what he's saying about Abraham. Hey, God is even bragging on the fact that Abraham is his friend. Amen. Boy, wouldn't it be something? I think of, this is not one of the men, but just quickly comes to my mind, I think of Jonah. Or not Jonah, I'm sorry, Job. When the Lord and the devil are having that conversation, remember? And he says to the devil concerning Job, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He's exalting Job. He's lifting Job up, my friend, because this man, Job, loved God. It's very obvious as you read the scriptures. He loved God. And God's bragging about it. I just believe God wants to hear from earth down here that there's somebody, maybe at Blackstone Valley Baptist Church, that can say, "I love God," right out in the open and not ashamed of it. Amen. Amen. Don't you know, I love it. I love it when we make that phone call to one of our children and they tell us, and get one of the grandchildren on the phone and they tell us and they say, "I love you." Why, man, that'll help you more than anything. Don't you know God wants to hear from us? And we say to him, "I love you." He said, "Brother Danny, I don't know about all this mushy, gushy stuff." You ought to, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It starts off, "for God so loved," it starts off ooshy and gushy. God loves us. There's nothing ooshy and gushy about it. It's a fact. I hope tonight that you know it's a fact that Danny Long loves God. Now you can count it ushy-gushy all you want. You can be as cold as a tater if you want to, my friend. Hey, you can all be all that other stuff, but the fact is, God's wanting us to just love him. Amen. And we ought to love him and not be ashamed of it. Hug on him every once in a while. Don't you feel his arms around you sometimes? Hallelujah. Enough to make you shout. Oh, at times when the valleys get dark and deep and it seems like they're long and they're getting longer and they're longer, and all of a sudden the mighty arms of God, you can feel them. He reaches down and just hugs you up and lets you know, "I'm not here to jerk you out of this situation, but I'm here to go with you through this situation. And when we come out on the other side, you're going to look back and say, 'Thank you, Lord, that you didn't get me out of there, but you just came down and walked with me.'" Amen. Boy, God longs for us to just let it out that we love it. What do you think we're going to be doing in heaven? Huh? We're going to be singing. We're going to have a brand new song. I don't know what it's going to be. You don't either. We're going to be singing. I believe we're going to be worshiping and praising. I believe we're going to be worshiping and praising God. No, I believe we're going to be worshiping and praising God. I believe we're going to be falling on our face before the Lord Jesus Christ and thanking him for what he did at Calvary. And I think we're going to get emotional. I think we're going to turn loose for a few thousand years and just shout her out in heaven. Amen. Now, that may not go well with your theology, but you read your Bible. Amen. And I know sometimes that kind of contradicts what we believe and what we want to believe, but I'll stick with the Bible. Amen. I'm just telling you, folks, listen, God's wanting us to just love Him back because He loves us. Amen. Oh, listen, then we talk about Abraham being a friend of God. Then I think about Moses. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend." God puts high praise on this thing of us being His friend. Amen. You know what I realized? Any one of us and every one of us can be a friend of God's. After all, He's a friend to any one of us and all of us. I mean, He even says it like this, "Whosoever will, let him come." We can love God tonight. We can be a friend to God. I mean, a friend where He's the one that we tell every secret that we have, those secrets that we can't share with anybody else. Maybe there are things that's just happened, or maybe there are things that happened way back yonder in the past, and they're just gnawing at us and eating at us, and we've got to share them with somebody. We've just got to unload. You know what I'm saying? Do you know He's that friend that we can do that with? We can just share it with Him, unload it with Him, and He's our friend. And when we do that, listen, when we do that, we're showing that we're His friend. When we're telling Him our secrets, we're showing Him, "God, I trust You. I'm Your friend because I'm sharing with You the innermost thoughts of my very heart." Well, I tell you, there's nothing like this relationship. Moses is a man that God is speaking to face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. The Bible also says in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." There's something about this, folks. It's God's not a long distance friend. He don't want a long distance friend. He wants that close friend that when you talk, you're speaking to one another. Amen. That's what God's wanting. That's the kind of relationship God wants with us. One that we talk to Him face to face. Amen. It's not one that we write a little note to because we don't want them to know. Remember when you was kids and I don't guess they do this anymore at school because, well, I know they don't. They don't write notes. They'd send a text, amen. But they double Facebook or whatever. Two Facebook, whatever it is. Y'all know what you do. Anyway, when we was little, when we was young, we was at school, we'd like, boys, remember, we'd like this girl? Huh? And we'd send her a love note. And boy, I mean, it was a deep, deep one. I mean, it was a long one. It said, "I like you. Do you like me?" Huh? Any of you ever seen one of those notes? Come on. Yeah, some of you are still denying it. You know why? Because you didn't get a reply back. Or you got one that said in heavy, dark, bold letters, N-O. I don't blame you. I deny it too. Amen. I received a bunch of the no's. I got one or two yeses. Thank God it fizzled out over the years. Amen. Because I look at the old gal. No, I'm sorry. Forget that. Mark that one out. Amen. But you'd send those little notes, my friend. Didn't have the nerve to go and say, "Hey, I like you." Didn't have the nerve. Amen. Remember? The Bible says God wants to be our friend as though we're face to face and we don't mind saying, "I like you. I love you." Amen. Amen. God wants that. God longs for that. I believe God's longing for folks down here to look up toward heaven and say, "God, I sure do love you. Send Him a sugar." You say, "That's ridiculous." It is if you don't love Him. Amen. But if you love Him, ain't nothing ridiculous about it. Hallelujah. I just hear the angels right now running before the throne of God. Oh, that crazy nut down there, he's a throwing sugar up here in heaven. And the Father says, he loves me. Don't you know he brags about it? He may not have many that do, but don't you know over the ones that do, he's bragging about it. He's excited about it. You say, Brother Danny, I don't believe. What's wrong with you? God's interested in us loving him with all of our heart. And you don't think he likes to hear it from us every once in a while? I love you. Even us old men, we like for that wife to say, I love you. Amen, men. Sure we do. You say, well, she don't ever tell me. Well, maybe you ought to do something nice for her every once in a while and she might catch on. Amen. And I'm telling you, God's longing for that. And here's Moses, and God says about him that they spake face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. And then the third one we think about is David. Acts chapter 13. I know some of you already going there about the sin thing, but surely you can overcome that yourself, because David did. Amen. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. He said, I found a man that's after my own heart. You don't think this is a close relationship? You don't believe that God's interested? I mean, here he's bragging about this man named David, that he says he's a man after my own heart. Over and over in the scriptures we read about the psalmist David, and we find out, oh, David, listen to me. You say, but Brother Danny, he sinned. I know he did. You have too, haven't you? I'm talking about since you've been saved. That didn't mean he didn't love God. I'm not always real nice to my wife. Sometimes I let her down in those areas of niceness. But that don't mean I don't love her. Amen. It don't keep me from love. Well, I treated her terrible. I just don't love her anymore. No. I still love her. Boy, I'm glad she forgives. Amen. I'm even glad she forgets. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, God's interested in having a relationship with us folks. And here, we got these three, to me, fine examples of men that had a close relationship with God. And God's wanting us tonight to have a close relationship. Listen to me. If you're going to be an effective Christian, you're going to have a close, intimate relationship with God. That word intimate, the world has taken that word and made it sound as though it's filthy. We're not talking about that filthiness stuff. We're talking about a godly love that God has shown toward us. Therefore, because he has shown it to us, now we are enabled to show that same godly love back to him with reverence. Amen. I'm not talking about saying, hey God, hey bud. No. God forgive us. I'm not talking about saying, hey, the man upstairs. No. The big guy. No, I'm not. That's not a relationship. That's disrespectful. God's still God. But don't let that scare you away, my friend. Don't let the devil use that to run you off from having that fellowship with him and saying, God, I sure do love you. Well, he showers sugars on me every once in a while. Thank God he does. He does you too. He said, well, he's never thrown a sugar or kissed me or... Oh, he hasn't? Really? Well, then there's really something bad wrong with your relationship between you and him. Amen, because he shows love. Even in the Bible, he says we're to greet one another with a holy kiss. You don't think God would do that if he tells the rest of us to do that? Hey, I'm not expecting any of you men tonight. Keep your distance. Amen. Yeah, or the women. Amen. But God's wanting a relationship with us. We've got to get started. Amen. Listen, it begins, I already let the cat out of the bag. It begins with a desire. It begins, you say, well, where do you get that desire? It comes from the call of salvation. When you get saved, God puts a desire in your heart to know the one that saved you. I don't mean to just know about him, but to know him. There's a difference in knowing about someone and knowing them. And I believe a lot of Christians are, let me say it this way, a lot of church members are content with just knowing some things about God, but not really knowing God. I knew some things about my wife before she became my wife. Like I already said, I knew she was a liar. Amen. But I knew some things about her because her sister had already told me some things about Miss Pam. And I already knew some things about her. And then as we begin to, after she got saved, and I began to ask her out, we'd go to church together. We'd go to activities together because I was the youth director of the church and she was a youth, amen. And we would go to those activities and we'd sit by each other and we would talk to each other. And I began to know some things about her as we would talk. I'd find out some things about her. But my friend, listen to me. When we yoked up together, when we got married, I began to find out, not about her, but I began to know her. And I'm still today finding out some things about Miss Pam. Amen. I'm knowing more and more every day about her. And I figure this process is going to go on. Some of you have been married for quite a time. But I figure this process is going to go on. As long as we live, we're going to always be finding out some things and knowing more about each other every day. Now listen to me. That was my desire when I met her, to find out about her. And then as we got married, my desire began to really know this young lady. I wanted to know all about her. I wanted to know, as I've already said, her dislikes and her likes. I wanted to make sure if she didn't like, I tried to stay away from the didn't likes. Amen? Amen? And stay with the likes. Listen, that's the way our relationship ought to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, and it started when I got saved. I mean, it began. I heard two nights of preaching, and they were telling me about Jesus. That preacher preached Wednesday night. He told me about Jesus. He told me some things about Jesus. And on Thursday night, he got up and preached, and he told me some things about Jesus. Two nights I had of knowing some things about Jesus. And on that second night, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And immediately I said to myself, I want to know him. Zacchaeus, he wants to know Jesus. The Bible says he ran ahead of the crowd and he climbed up that sycamore tree. Why? Because he wanted to know him. Let me look over there, Brother Randy. Will you look that up, Zacchaeus? There's a special wording, the way that it's worded, that Zacchaeus wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. God wants us to not know about him. You see, that's what's wrong with a lot of church members. They know about God, but very few know God. I'm glad tonight I can report to you, I know God. Amen. I know some things about God, my friend, that I never knew before I got saved. But since I got saved, I have found out some things. I have been finding out his likes and his dislikes. And I find out, my friend, it's not just only for his sake that I stay away from the dislikes, but it's for my own good that I stay away from the dislikes. Amen? I found that out in being married, too. It's for my own good that I stay away from her dislikes. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hey, you get food poisoning if you ain't smart enough. Sought to see Jesus, who he was. That's talking about he He didn't want to hear no more. He had heard about Jesus. He wasn't concerned about hearing about him anymore. Now he's longing to see who he really is, to know him, to know him. And that, listen, and God wants that. God invites us. It's not like he's got something to hide, but he's open with all of us, and he says, come and see. Come and see. Amen. He's inviting us into this relationship with him, my friend, so that it's so close that we do find out his dislikes and his likes. And we find out, my friend, listen, what he expects out of us in this relationship. My friend, and I found this out. I can find out what I can expect out of him in this relationship. For instance, we preached it in one of the points last night. He says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. I expect that now. Why? God made the promise. I found out I can claim that tonight, not just as a person claiming a verse of scripture. I'm talking about the promise that God's made, listen to me, to his children. I can claim that tonight. He's going to supply all of my needs. I mean, on and on through the Bible, listen to me, I claim the promise that when this life comes to an end, I'm going to heaven. I'm not hoping to go. I know I'm going. Why? Because the Lord told me that he gives unto them eternal life. Amen. So these are things I have learned to expect of God, and the more I find out of him, by knowing him, my friend, I know some great things I can expect from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I can expect comfort when the world has no comfort. I can expect peace when the world's hollering peace and they're shooting and they're stabbing and they're blowing and all of this other stuff, and God gives wonderful peace. The Bible describes it as peace that passeth all understanding. I expect that from God. You say, you have no right to expect. Why not? God promised it. What's wrong with you? You got a problem with accepting the promises that God's made? What is wrong? You're off your rocker. That's a Hebrew term. It means you're nuts. The promises are there, and you just say, oh, I don't believe that. I'm not worthy of that. I can't expect that. Well, why not? God said, I'll do it for you. I don't recall a time our children, as they're growing up, we'd get them something special and give it to them. They'd say, oh, Dad, Mom, I'm not worthy of that. Oh, no, 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 I can't do that. Man, they grabbed that thing up and wore it out before we had time to get it broke in good. Listen to me, folks. We are so, stupid. God has got all these wonderful things in store for us. And we, hands off, if we get to having a close enough relationship, we'll realize it's not, I don't want to be offensive. It's not this name it and claim it stuff. It's claiming it because God's already named it. Amen. We need to understand tonight. God just loves us. And he wants the very best for us. You say, the very best? Then why do we have heartaches and troubles? Because he's trying to give us his very best. We just won't accept it. You say, but heartaches and troubles? Yeah, I found out something. You really find out about the very best that God has through heartaches and troubles. You find out that through those times, God just stays with you and still loves you. Even when your faith falters, he's still ready to reach down and pick you up. My goodness, that's good. Amen. It's better than never having a trouble or a trial. So therefore, you never know the strength of God. Amen. I know something about him tonight. I know him. Praise the Lord. It starts with a desire. I think of Abraham. We got to hurry. But I think of Abraham. And my friend, listen, that desire, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. You see, this is that call. Listen, my friend, it started out with that call upon Abraham. And now what it's causing Abraham to do, this call is causing him to obey God. That's what the scripture says. He obeyed God. You love God? He says again, I threw it out at you again. He says, you love me, you will keep my commandments. What is that? That's obedience. If you love God, you'll be obedient to him. Amen. Well, these are simple things, really. But they're showing whether we love him or not. He said, Brother Danny, I don't have to show him. He knows my heart. You better look out. You don't know how right you are. He does know your heart. And if it's in your heart to love God, you know what? You'll be obedient to him. But I don't have to prove. Isn't it strange that God's the one that said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments? Brother Danny didn't say that. God said that. Amen? We always got a loophole, don't we? To keep us. You know what the thing is? You know what we fight over more than anything? Just to keep us from having a close relationship with him. That's what it's about. About having. You say, Brother Danny, we need to be soul winning. We need to be telling folks about Jesus. You wait just a second. If you don't love him the way you ought to, you're not going to be a very good witness. Amen. If I have to amen myself, I'll do it. But it's the truth. But if you love him like you're supposed to, you'll have no problem telling others about Jesus. As a matter of fact, when you're talking about him, your face will light up. You'll get excited. Amen. You won't be able to hold back, my friend, because why? You're talking about the one you love. Well, we come in here, Brother Marcel. Now, he ain't much, but bless his heart, he tries. Amen. You got to give the man that. He's running around with his cell phone, showing this picture of this baby that is going to be born in 3 weeks. It ain't even here yet. And he's running around and showing this picture of his grandson, right? Grandson, have you seen it? Oh, you got to see it. You might as well go ahead and get it over with because he'll worry you to death with it. He showed it to me Sunday morning. Last night, we're sitting back here with our fellowship, dip-de-doo fellowship. And he gets that phone out. I thought, oh, here he comes again. You know how it is, don't you? Amen. And he says, did I show you that? I said, I'm shaking my head. He ignores it. He said, did I show you the picture of my grandson? And he's still in the womb. And he's telling me the whole story again. And I'm thinking, if a bug flies in your mouth, don't worry about it. I'll take over from here. I know the story. Amen. He's telling me about this little grandbaby. He's excited about this little grandbaby. I got a funny feeling, Brother Marcel. You're already having an intimate relationship with that little grandbaby. Y'all keep it down over here. Listen to me. It's his heart. It's his heart. He loves that little baby. Well, I'm telling you, folks, listen, that's exactly the way God wants us to respond to him. And if we love him like we ought to love him, when we get to talk, did I tell you about when I got saved? March the 27th, 1969, it was on a Thursday night at Calvary Baptist Church. They'd sing, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me. O Lamb of God, I come. They sang about 55 verses. And I was wheeling and dealing with God. God, if you'll let them sing one more verse, I'll go. And they'd say, we're going to sing one more verse. And I'd say, no, Lord, that could be for somebody else. So if you'll let them sing one more verse, I'll know this one's mine. They'd get through that verse and they'd start it again. Song leader would say, all right, we're going to sing. Pastor said for us to sing one more verse to give you an opportunity to come. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, that could have been for somebody beside me. Just in case, I want to make sure it's for me. Let them sing one more time. Boy, listen to me. I like to tell you, say, Brother Danny, you've told us that How many years you been coming here? 50, 60 years for this our 39th anniversary. I figure you was coming here a few years before we got started. And I've heard it every year. It's the same old. Yeah, boy, and it's just, that old story is just so wonderful tonight. As I tell it again, praise God, it's like it happened yesterday. Amen. Did I tell y'all? Y'all may have not been listening. Marcella showed you a picture twice. Why can't I tell? Hey, man. I'm telling you, listen, if you've got a right relationship with God, listen, you know what we do? We do the mechanics. Sir, if you were to die tonight, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? We got the mechanics down. The people are watching us, and they're looking at a robot that's witnessing to them. You say, Brother Danny, don't you think God, listen to me, whoa, hold it. I do know this. A person can't get saved except the Holy Spirit of God draw them. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God all over you, my friend, if you don't have Him in you, if you don't have Him witnessing as you witness, then your witnessing is in vain. My friend, the difference is our relationship with Him. Because when we have the right relationship with Him, the Holy Ghost is in us doing His work then. Because He's pleased with us. Amen! Amen. You got to wake somebody up. Amen? Oh, I'm telling you, listen. We just go a little bit further. Where did we get to? Amen? Well, we're talking about the Moses. We're talking about Abraham. And then we get to think about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. It begins with a call to salvation. Moses, in Hebrews 11, 24, when he, talking about Moses, was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Boy, here's Moses, and this call is upon his life. And I just see Moses, remember the story of little baby Moses when he was born, had his mom took him down there to the river and placed him in a little ark there in the river's brink, my friend. And then Pharaoh's daughter comes down to bathe herself, and she finds this baby in the ark, and he cries. And you know the story of it, how it ends up that his mom ends up taking care of him, and Pharaoh's daughter doesn't realize what's going on. But God knows all along. Listen, and Pharaoh's, I'm sorry, Moses' mom begins to teach him not the things of Pharaoh that they thought she was teaching him, the things that they wanted him taught, the ways of the world, if you will, but she's teaching him the ways of God. Parents, this is important. God's given you your children not just to let them grow up, but for you to raise them up. Amen. And then God even he instructs us how we're to raise our children. He says, raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does that mean? In the very will of God. Amen. We need to raise our children in the will of God. We need to raise our children. Tell them about Jesus. Not one time, not two times, but every day of their life. Tell them about Jesus. Sit down with them and read them Bible stories. Amen. Well, I mean, even Hollywood knows the importance of that. They make movies all the time about Bible stories. Oh, they mess it up. I understand that. But they do know there's some importance there. They're not trying to get the importance out. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that either. But they know these stories in the Bible are exciting. Your kids will stay tuned in. I find it's more a problem of moms and dads staying tuned in than it is the children. We need to teach our children. Here's Moses' mom, and he's every day that he lives, when he should, according to the world, have been taught the ways of Pharaoh, Pharaoh's lifestyle, the way that the Egyptians lived, and all of this, how the laws governed the people. Instead of all of that stuff, he was being taught the ways of God. Well, I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. There began somewhere along in Moses' life, there began this call in his life. This call, and it put a desire in him to know God in a very intimate way. He wasn't satisfied to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Amen? Why? Well, I believe Moses could have been the very one that really, really pinned down the words, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Amen. Then I think of David right quick. I think of David. Boy, you get to thinking about David, and boy, your mind goes wild. But listen to this. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, talking about David, a king in midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. My friend, when the Holy Spirit of God got all over David, you know what it caused? Listen, you know what it caused? It caused a desire for him to want to have a relationship with God. I'm just telling us tonight, folks. We're getting through with the introduction. Don't worry, we're not going to go on, but we're getting through with the introduction. I just want you to know. But God's interested in every one of us having a relationship with him. And we don't get too old to have a relationship. I said we don't get too old to have a relationship. Amen. We never are too young to have a relationship with God. And you're never too spiritual to have a relationship with God. My friend, the truth is, God wants to have a relationship with us, and now we ought to want to have a relationship with him. Amen. I want to, that relationship, this will be the last thing I tell you, unless God gives me something else. But we were at home several weeks ago now, but months ago, and a preached on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night at our church. And that Sunday morning, as I preached, this young girl sitting back, maybe three rows from the back there, she's sitting there. And as I preached, you could tell God was troubling her heart. Now, she was a member of the church, had made a profession of faith back several years ago. She's 16 years of age. And she sat there, and I could tell God was really dealing with her heart. But she didn't move. That Sunday night, as I preached that evening, she's sitting there, and God's dealing with her heart. And most of the time, it happens in periods of the message. Most of the time, though, during that message, she was weeping. I mean, she was just weeping. She wasn't just wiping a tear every once in a while. She was literally crying uncontrollable from time to time. It's like she would cry for a while, and then she'd catch herself and straighten up. And then after a while, God would prick her heart again, and boy, she'd just lose it and start crying. God was dealing with her. We went through the service. It gave an invitation, tried to get folks to come, and some did, but this young girl, she was really on my mind, and I kept just throwing it her way. I mean, I really did. But she didn't come forward. Service was over with. We were all shaking hands. Everybody's shaking hands and laughing and talking, fellowshipping. And I walked to the door back there. We have one single door, and or double door, but it's right there. And I walked back there, and as I get back there to the door, this young lady, what's her name again? Bailey. Bailey has been out in the foyer, and she starts back in, and I'm there at the door. Just happened this way. And she comes in, and she stands there, and she's closed the door behind her, and she stands right there. I mean, she's 2 feet away from me. And she says, "Thank you, Brother Danny." And I said, "Bailey, Miss Pam and I love you, and we're praying for you. And if you ever need any help, if you ever need anybody to talk to, you call us, and Miss Pam will be glad to talk with you." I said, "Please do that." She turned loose of that door handle, and she hugged me. I mean, she hugged me, and she was just, her body was just trembling. And she hugged me up, and she said, "Thank you, I love y'all." And I said, "We love you too, hon, but if you ever need to talk with us." She turns loose of me and takes off. And she goes over to the side of the church, and she comes down over there, and Miss Pam and some of the ladies are back over here talking. So she comes around, comes over here to Miss Pam, and she says to Miss Pam, "I need to talk to you." And Miss Pam says, "Okay, what do you need to talk about?" She said, "I need to get saved." She came, and Miss Pam and her, and sat down on the front pew, and they talked a while. Miss Pam shared scriptures with her. They got out of the pew. They knelt down. Everybody's just a fellowship, and most of them don't even know that there's anything like this going on. Everybody's just laughing and fellowshipping and having a good time. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. She gives her heart to Jesus. They get through praying. They get up. She hugs Miss Pam. tells her thank her, and then she gets through, and here she comes around, and she's telling folks, and she comes up to me more, she hugs me up again. This time she's not trembling, and she's excited though. And she said, I just got saved. I just accepted Jesus as my Savior. We talked very briefly, and everybody's coming around now, and she's letting everybody know. And then she gets back with Miss Pam, and she says to Miss Pam this. She said, Miss Pam, I want to know something. And you know, I say, thank God for this, but at the same time, I'm sorrowful. You say, what do you mean? Her family's been in that church. We've been members of this church for 8 or 9 years now. And her mom and dad have been members of that church before we ever went. But here's the question she asked. Miss Pam, tell me, y'all talk about this walk with Jesus. How do you have a walk with Jesus? I think it's sad that she never seen it in mom and dad. I think it's sad that she never seen that walk with Jesus in mom or dad. She had to ask someone else, how do you have a walk with Jesus? That's a bad testimony. You say, well, Brother Danny, what if your children, you know, what if you don't, and this happens a lot of times. What if when you get saved, your children are already pretty much grown, and it doesn't matter what you say or do. I understand, but listen to this. With Jesus, there's always hope. Don't give up. Don't sell God short of what He can do. Amen. They may go the way of the world, but if you've planted some seed in their life, and if you just keep watering, living for Jesus, putting Him first every day in your life, you never know what God's going to do with them. Wherever they roam, that prodigal son, huh? He went wayward. He got out and he wasted his substance with righteous living. But he knew in his heart there's a better way than this. And one day he arises and he goes back to the Father and he gets things right. There's always hope. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. God's wanting out of us a close relationship. How do I walk with the Lord? That's my desire, Brother Randy, is to walk with the Lord every day. Boy, Miss Pam and I, we'll go somewhere. We'll go to Walmart, one of our favorite places, one of the places, few places that we can afford to go to. Amen. And we go there, and we go hand in hand, walking inside, walking to the door of Walmart. To a lot of places, we walk hand in hand. Amen. And on the way in, we're talking to one another. And I'm sure folks are thinking, what are they up to? They look like shoplifters. They're planning on what to get. Today we need man things. Tomorrow we need women things. So, you know, I don't know what they're thinking, and I don't care what they're thinking. I just know this relationship between us, my friend, calls for us to walk hand in hand. Amen. I think that's the way God wants to walk with us through life, is hand in hand. Trusting Him, believing Him, talking with Him, opening His Word, and letting Him talk back. Amen. God just wants a relationship with us. Won't cost you anything. But it will enrich your life far above the riches of this world. Amen. What about it? Jesus your friend? You say, yes, He is. Are you His friend? That's the real question. Let's all stand. Everyone standing. Is it all right if Miss Pam sings tonight? Give me my book there, Pam. I'm sorry. Tonight, as we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, will you let God speak to you? Keep me in His will. Number 51, Brother David. Will you let God speak to your heart? Will you let God deal with your heart tonight? Will you not be ashamed of Him if He says, I'll talk with you right here. I'll talk with you right here. But I'd much rather meet you in the altar. I'd much rather meet you in the altar, because this is where you humbled yourself before me. And I can speak to you. Why don't you come tonight and obey Him? Why don't you come tonight? Because you can. Devil says you can't, but God says you can. You can freely come tonight. Why don't you come tonight? Why don't you come and do business with God? Tell Him. Say, Lord, I desire this fellowship with You. I desire this walk with You, Lord. I desire this intimate relationship with You, Lord. I don't deserve it. Oh, no, Lord, I'm not worthy of that. But thank You, God, that You made it possible through Jesus Christ, Your darling Son. You made it possible through Him that I can have this close walk with You. Lord, tonight, I want to obey You. Young people, be a good night to surrender to the Lord. Be a good night to surrender to the Lord. Adults, it'd be a good night to surrender to the Lord. You say, I've already surrendered. It'd be a good night tonight to rededicate those dedications you've made to the Lord. Because sometimes we don't hold our end of the bargain up. Sometimes we need to come and renew those things to the Lord. Why don't you come tonight? And if you're lost tonight, pastor standing right up here, won't you come and talk to him? Tell him, say, Pastor, I'd like to know this Jesus. Not just about Him. I've heard about Him. You may be a church member tonight. You say, I've heard about Jesus all my life, but I want to know Him. You can come and meet Him tonight. Know Him. Won't you come tonight? Father, help us, Lord. We're human. We struggle with what to do and how to do it. We're so afraid sometime of doing wrong, we just won't do anything. But Lord, tonight, help us just to surrender to You. God, You'll take care of the rest. Lord, help us tonight obey You. Oh, you ought to enjoy His presence tonight because He's here. You ought to just praise Him tonight. That close, intimate relationship will cause you to praise Him. That's the reason Paul and Silas were in jail. Instead of grumbling and griping, they were praising the Lord. You know why? Because they had that intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, somebody ought to worship Him. Somebody ought to praise Him, for He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins. Oh, He is the one. He's the Holy One of Jerusalem. He's that one. Praise His holy name, for there's no other God like Him tonight. Woo! Thank You, Jesus. There's no other God like Him tonight. The gods of this world are trying to take from us, and the God of the Bible is giving to us. Gods of this world want to take lives. God's saying, I give life, eternal life. Won't you come tonight? Won't you obey Him tonight?
If I should ask for things I want,
listen to this.
Just give me what I need.
You'll be content in the Lord with whatever He gives you, because it'll be what you need. Say, Brother Danny, I don't know how to have an intimate relationship. I wasn't raised that way. I don't know anything about it. Don't you think that God knows that? If you'll just come and say, Lord, I don't know how. I just don't know how to do this. But Lord, I want to. I want to walk with You every day of my life. I want You not to be a part of my life. I want You to be my life. Amen. I want You to be the very reason that I live. Lord, it's You. It's all about You. And I know it, Lord. And I'm just honored that You let me in on it. But it's about You. Won't you just come and yield to Him tonight? Talk to Him tonight. Remember, He's a friend that will talk to you face to face. Amen. You don't have to do that long distance thing. You don't have to come to Brother Randy and have him to talk to God for you. You can talk to Him yourself. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful, Pastor?
You looking for a best friend? God was looking for you. Will you be my best friend? I can remember years ago of finding a best friend.